Happy Friday, Dub Nation. I got Kylan Mills finally back with me. Kylan, you have been gone for way too long. I know you've been fighting COVID. Are you feeling okay? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to give Dub Nation some reassurances in what's been a really wild off season? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready. I'm feeling better, Cyrus. It's been a long 9 days for me because I kept testing positive over and over again. I was feeling okay. Like, I wasn't feeling bad. I just had a little bit of a stuffy nose. But I kept testing positive, which means like staying home, not going to work. I was supposed to go to the Cali Classic last weekend. Didn't get to go to that. So like, I'm more than ready to talk Warriors in the podcast. I'm ready to get out of my house. So let's do it.
I love it. And again, I haven't heard your opinions yet on what's been just a really crazy off season. It's certainly not what most people expected. There's Kevin Durant rumors. I have a whole list of free agents still available. We're going to break all that down next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills, Cron 4 Sports Anchor, and more. You do a lot of stuff in the sporting world at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, at Dog Surf Roadshow. Speaking of Dog Surf Roadshow, look at my tee, dude. I don't know if you heard this, Kylan. And I actually texted you. I need your address because I was going to send you a shirt. This is my Rocco Surfing tee. Rick Barry and I started a clothing company. And my pinned tweet has the link if you want to buy that stuff.
Yeah, I retweeted your tweet. I loved the tweet. I liked it. I loved it. I retweeted it. And I love the shirt.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, let me know. Just as soon as I get your address, I'll send you some build bars and a shirt as well. But yeah, so Rocco, I'm representing. But this offseason has been wild. I haven't gotten your opinion yet. I'm sure a lot of people would love it. You know, since the last time you came on, Gary Payne II left, Otto Porter Jr. left, Juan Toscano-Anderson left, Damian Lee left. The Warriors did re-sign Kevon Looney and added Dante DiVincenzo. Your thoughts so far on this really bizarre, at least to me, offseason?
It's not a huge surprise to me that the Warriors had to let some players go just because of luxury tax. They're well into the double offenders tax, which means that it grows exponentially. They can't just keep spending and spending and spending. And at the Warriors pre-draft media availability, Bob Myers was kind of talking like he was trying to prepare people, I thought, because he was like, hey, listen, there is not an endless budget. We are going to have to stop somewhere, because obviously the main, you know, questions he was being asked is, how are you going to keep this person? How are you going to keep this person? Is the plan to keep this person? Are you going to keep Otto Porter around? Are you going to keep GP2 around? And he was kind of like, well, you know, he was dancing around these questions saying, yeah, we'd love to keep everyone. But at the end of the day, like, there's not an endless budget, which is just kind of interesting because I feel like in the Joe Lacob era, you know, Warriors fans have become used to the Warriors being willing to dole out cash to keep their stars around, their homegrown stars. And Gary Payton II is one that they, you know, really found out of the G League, although honestly, the Warriors are lucky that he stuck around after they cut him before last season, which I love to look back on now. Like, huh, you actually cut this guy and he asked you and begged you to stay around. And then he ended up on the team and being this difference maker in the NBA Finals. What a freaking story he is. I wasn't as shocked maybe as some people were about the fact that some of those Warriors walked just based on the way that Bob Myers was talking about the budget and them really being the Warriors being concerned about that luxury tax and not wanting to get so far into it. Keeping GP2 is going to cost them $50 million in taxes. I just, based on the way they were talking, I didn't see that happening. That being said, I was disappointed in the fact that GP2 walked. And then I honestly was expecting Kevon Looney to get a lot more money. So that was one thing that surprised me, because I know, you know, you look at, okay, if the two focuses, let's say, are Looney and keeping GP2, they've accepted that Otto Porter Jr. is going to go. I kind of expected, well, maybe the issue is that they need to pay Looney more because he's been, you know, a bargain so far in his career with the Warriors. So that surprised me a little bit. Just seeing the numbers on his deal and then the fact that Gary Payton II did still walk to the Trailblazers for $8 million. That was a little bit surprising to me. I think it's just a huge blow to the Warriors to lose Gary Payton II. I mean, that was my first thought. He's not only is he a fan favorite, he just brings so many intangibles to the team. To me, he's a defensive juggernaut on the court. He's the best defender in any given game. And he just did so much to prove himself throughout his tenure with the Warriors. So that was the biggest loss, I think, by far. It was disappointing to me to see him walk. And, you know, I get that there are constraints on the budget, but like, I honestly, maybe it's not a realistic world. I would have loved to see the Warriors throw that money and respond and keep Gary Payton II around. So to me, that was the biggest loss. As far as some of the other role players, Otto Porter Jr., it didn't entirely shock me. I think they could bring in another, you know, some type of veteran who could be comparable to what OPJ did. He was great. He did exactly what he needed to do to get the Warriors to the championship, but I think he's replaceable. To me, like, GP2 is the one who's not replaceable. Juan Toscano-Anderson, I mean, how do you not love the Oakland-grown product, the way that he's also battled years to get to this point in being, you know, an NBA player? And he's done so much to make Oakland proud, and he gives back to the community so much. So I feel like he's, you know, a loss in some of the heart of this team, and the heart of this team, but you know, you can't blame JTA for going to the Lakers and obviously the Warriors having to make that tough choice, just because at the end of the day, these are some of the players that were at the bottom of the bench, and Damian Lee, the same thing, you know? So I think those pieces are replaceable, as much as, like I said, some of the intangibles and off the court stuff, like, you hate to see these players go. Like I said, Anderson in particular, just because of his ties to the community. But you know, it's basketball, it's business. So I understand all that. To me, GP2 is the one who is irreplaceable. Like, I just don't see how you replace what he does on the floor. I think that Dante DiVincenzo was a good pickup, but I just like, I, it's hard for me to say like, yes, someone can replace what GP2 does. Cause I just,
right.
But that being said, I still think they can make some moves in free agency. I know TJ Warren, there've been a couple guys that they let go buy them and get signed that I was a little bit surprised by. I know we're probably going to get into this in a minute, Sai, so I'll let you talk because I could just go on and on. But
go on and on. I've been talking all week. I think Dub Nation is exhausted hearing me say what you're saying. I literally, like, people are annoyed at me because I keep criticizing this ownership. The only thing I'll still say, which is a negative, is I do not appreciate the disingenuousness of Joe Lacob in saying that the money's not there. That is not true. That is a blatantly not true statement. They could say they don't want to spend the money. I mean, that would be honest, you know? I mean, but don't say you don't have the money. That's a ridiculous statement. They could have afforded Gary Payton II. But no, the people have been hearing me all week. Kylan, you've been gone for way too long. So continue on, please.
It has been too long. Yeah, no, the Joe Lacob comments are very interesting. Gosh, you could do a whole dive into that. Because to keep GP2, I agree. I think the money was there. But, you know, at some point, I get what Myers is saying. Like, you've got to put some cap on spending. I just would have liked to see that cap come after they kept Gary Payton.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I get the luxury tax. I mean, it is a tough situation. But, like I said, but I just would have liked to see that cap come after re-signing GP2. Anyways,
yeah, I agree.
That I actually kind of think the Warriors, well, I don't know. I would like to see them get a big at this point, and I honestly don't hate the pickup of Markieff Morris. I feel
He's available.
Is still available. I feel like that would be a good possibility for the Warriors. You know, he can shoot from outside, potentially spread the floor, which is something, you know, like similar to Otto Porter Jr. style. He's on the older side, but again, you're bringing in a veteran, which is honestly what they need. And you know, he's just well-regarded and respected around the league. You know, it's like a pro's pro. So, you know, he has size. I think he's 6'9", 6'10". So I actually kind of like potentially targeting Markieff Morris right now in free agency, because the Warriors do need to fill out the roster right now. Like,
you're absolutely right.
I'm wondering what's going on upstairs and, you know, the little mind trust, whatever. I feel like, I don't know why I picture the Warriors front office this time of year being like Oz, like behind like a curtain and like, just like someone's calling out, okay, sign this person. I don't know. But I like Markieff Morris for the Warriors potentially target. I don't know what your thoughts are. I actually am very curious to see what you think about who's left, like out of who's left, like who should the Warriors be going after?
That's a great question. I have a list for you. I'm going to present in just a moment. I'm going to save that. I'm going to tease it for the end of the show so people stick around. Okay. That is the tease of teases. That's like a 15-minute tease. No, I have the list, but I want to take a step back because the more this offseason goes on, The only logical step I see is not finding free agents to plug in. I think there's a bigger play that's at large here that I think is going to happen. First, I got to give some love to Truebill, a longtime sponsor of this program. And they're all about saving you money, especially when it comes to wasting money on bills that you don't even need to pay for, right? I'm talking about extra subscriptions. I'm talking about going on Amazon and accidentally subscribing to something so you're getting a monthly instead of just a one-time purchase. I'm talking about three different Netflix accounts. I'm talking about two different Hulu accounts. I'm talking about orders from a clothing company where you're maybe getting underwear every month you don't even want. Truebill is there to stop that excess expenditures, to stop you from wasting money. Joe Lacob, Peter Gruber, sign up for this as well so we can actually keep players like Gary Payne II. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forget about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. I saved over $1,000. And because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. For your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. Look, first of all, the GP2 thing, I will be able to stomach that a lot more if the Warriors somehow acquire Pat Beverly. I think Pat Bev would be an excellent replacement for him. Markieff Morris, by the way, turns 33 this year. My only concern with Markieff Morris is whether or not he's healed. It is really a weird side story of last season when him and Nikola Jokic got into it, and Jokic just rammed him into the back, took him out for the whole year. And I think that was like back in December. It was crazy. Like, just took him out for the year. And all we didn't really hear much about that either. I mean, Morris twins.
No, not for the fact. Like, yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, when's the last update after it happened? Because when it happened, it was crazy. But, like,
Nothing. And then It was just, like, every now and again you'd hear he's still out. He's recovering. I also never thought anyone in the NBA would ever mess with the Morris twins. But, no, we found someone that would. That's the Jokic brothers. And they stepped down. They backed off. It was crazy. Point being, though, Patrick Beverley, I would love. I think he would be a legitimate replacement. But the more I'm looking at all these offseason maneuvers, and more so the lack of maneuvers. I mean, the Warriors are just kind of standing pat, not doing much, with the exception of Dante DiVincenzo. But I really think with each day that passes, this is setting up for Kevin Durant to come back. I really do. I keep saying time and time and again, Kevin Durant is Joe Lacob's white whale. When Kevin Durant left in 2019, if anyone was heartbroken more than anyone else, it was Joe Lacob. He wanted Kevin Durant long term. He retired his number. He's talked about still building a statue for a player who's only been here for 3 years. I know that was an incredibly dominant run, but still 3 years to just basically just pretend like he was a lifer for this team. The fact that he has a 4-year guaranteed contract, and the fact that there is conversations going on between Durant and the players, and they all seem to be okay with it. The fact that the circumstances have changed substantially. No longer is Durant coming in here being shocked if they win a championship and still getting criticism. That's no longer a surprise for him. That's going to be expected. He's also being traded here. He's not signing as a free agent. That's a huge difference. If Durant comes here, and let's say if Durant comes, they're winning the world championship. I guarantee it. And Durant could very easily win a third finals MVP. What I'm trying to say is everyone could be happy here. Stephen Curry's legacy is cemented. He's a top 10 all-time player. He doesn't now need that finals MVP to silence the reigning doubters. Durant, if he wins a third finals MVP, regardless of whether or not he's title chasing or jumping around, he's in elite company in terms of his legacy. I could see this being a win-win for everyone. And the more this offseason passes along, Joe Lacob talked about on a podcast with Tim Kawakami. He said that They're not going to spend any more money. They've talked about the fact that he's talked about the fact that he doesn't even know if they're going to be able to give Wiggins and Jordan Poole long-term extensions. That was eye-opening to me because I thought all these moves were leading up to Wiggins and Poole being long-term fixtures. If he's coming out publicly saying that he doesn't know if the team can afford to do so, I think all indications are that Kevin Durant is coming back to the Warriors, and I love it. I would love it much more so if Seth Curry came with, because that would ease the blow considerably of losing Jordan Poole, which in all likelihood will happen if this trade occurs. I love the idea of Seth and Steph on the same team together. I think everyone who's opposed to Kevin Durant coming to the Warriors is going to be quiet 10 minutes after that trade happens, and that whatever that emotion is that's negative will turn into exuberance, will turn into jubilee. You will be happy. Everyone will be happy. I guarantee it. Your thoughts on Kevin Durant, the likelihood of him coming, and whether you like the move if that happens.
I think it's very, very, very possible. But my question, and I think that the Warriors would win a championship. I think there's no questions asked. Kevin Durant comes back. I think it's a very, very good likelihood. I mean, I think the Warriors are one of like three teams that are truly in the mix to potentially trade for Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the best players in the game. I think they win a championship. I mean, they've proved there's no stopping Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. I mean, all on the floor. I think it would definitely lead to success in the next couple of years. My question is, at what expense of the future? Who are right. we going to have to give up? I mean, to me, like, I don't want to see Jonathan Kuminga go to another team.
Same.
The reality of the situation is that you'd have to be giving up some really, really critical pieces to the Warriors' future. And I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know. I don't have the answer. I'm not as much of a believer as you are, Cy. I think they win a championship now, but like how many years, again, with this aging core, how many years left in the tank do these guys have? And Kevin Durant's what, 34 years old? So that's another
player. Will be, yeah.
Will be 34. So that's another player to me that, you know, you have maybe a couple more good years, and players are playing longer in today's NBA. So I'm not trying to put like a certain expiration date on any of them, but the reality is that, you know, 36, 37 year old players, Kevin Durant potentially being 38 when he leaves, you know, like that might not be the Kevin Durant that we're seeing today. And even, you know, head coach Steve Kerr has said that Steph Curry, while still peaking at this age, he's next season, he's not going to be able to play 82 games in the same amount of minutes that he's
played.
He's going to have to start dialing it back and really, really focusing on taking care of his body. Now, that being said, I think Steph and the way he plays still, you know, has a couple years left in him, but this core is aging. And I just love the young pieces that the Warriors have right now. So to me, it's hard to wrap my mind around giving up so many of those. Because that's the reality, is that you would have to. I mean, what to you would be worth it, or what to you would be an ideal trade to give up, or who would you give up in exchange for Kevin Durant or potentially Durant and Seth Curry if we're looking at a three-team trade situation?
Yeah, it would have to get Seth involved. It would have to be three teams regardless to get Simmons yeah. out of Brooklyn. Right. I'm with you 100%, and I've been saying this on Twitter nonstop, on the show nonstop. I don't like losing Kuminga. I think Kuminga to me is the one untouchable. But I also say this all the time when the topic comes up of proven versus unproven talent. I will take the proven talent 10 times out of 10. As much as I love this young core, and I really do, man. I love Kuminga. I really love Kuminga. Like the sky is the limit for him. He could be a Hall of Famer someday. That just from what we've seen so far, it's the potential is incredible. Moses Moody, I don't quite see the same ceiling, but I still love this kid. And Wiseman is totally unproven, but everyone has seen enough when he's healthy in terms of his potential. But with that said, the word potential applies to these three guys. And with Kevin Durant, you're right, the window's much shorter, but you get a three-peat out of that. That's a one accomplishment this dynasty has not accomplished yet. I want a three-peat. That's where my greed is coming in. I want a three-peat. I think the potential is there. And with Durant, I think you attain that. Even though Durant turns 34 next year, he still could have two, three prime years left. And the same applies for Klay, for Steph, Draymond Green, if his back holds up. You know, they just re-signed Kevon Looney, so you know you have him for the next 3 years guaranteed. DiVincenzo, you know you have for the next 2 years. And then from there, it's just a lot of bet minimums if this trade comes through. I don't like Kuminga being included. I can stomach Jordan Poole if you're getting Seth Curry back. And I think Jordan Poole starts to make more and more sense when Joe Lacob is publicly saying, I don't know if we can afford to give this guy an extension. Mm-hmm. Like the moment I heard that, and the fact that the entire NBA is on hold right now, the fact that the Warriors have done virtually nothing this offseason, I'm going to list to you a bunch of free agents in just a second that they could pursue. But again, I really think there's a holding pattern going on here for Kevin Durant. I don't think the Suns are going to be the team just because they don't have enough to get back. The Nets want Devin Booker. That's not happening. DeAndre Ayton is just not enough. I don't think the Heat are the team either for the same reason. Those are the two teams that Kevin Durant mentioned. So then you have the two wild cards, one being the Toronto Raptors, who I don't think is going to happen just because they want Scottie Barnes. The Raptors are not giving up Scottie Barnes. No. But when you look at the Warriors, when you look at the assets they could give up, here's the ideal trade. This is what I would be okay stomaching, even though you're giving up a lot. Wiggins, obviously. Who again, when we look at Wiggins, a lot of people love him. I love him too. But outside of this incredible NBA Finals run, he has not done a lot. You know, I mean, he had a tremendous postseason, but you easily replace him with Kevin Durant, right? So you give up Wiggins, you give up Wiseman, who again, in 2 years has played 36 games, approximately, whatever it is, and he is still incredibly improving. You give up Moses Moody. I hate doing that, but you have to. And then I'm guessing Jordan Poole is the other piece that you'd have to give up, along with two, maybe three first-round picks. I would personally offer four unprotected first-round picks to make sure Kuminga and either Moody or Poole are not included in that deal. I'd be willing to do that, just because chances are those picks are going to be really high for years to come, and you're getting back proven talent. And Seth is not that old yet. I don't have his age just in front of me, but I think he's around 30, 31, so he's going to give you some good years left. So ultimately, yeah, the trade I'm okay with is if it's, one more time, Wiggins, Wiseman, Poole, Moody, and some first-round picks, but you're getting back Durant and Seth Curry, I sign off on that. If you include Kuminga, I think you're sacrificing the future for the next 2-3 years. But those next 2-3 years, folks, is going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. The Warriors are going to be a force. And I think about that excitement, and that's why I'm kind of like, okay with this whole thing, you know, because like I said, if the talent is unproven, and that the Warriors youngsters are still unproven, this is why it's just crazy to me that you're it's a huge risk to put the faith of your bench in three guys, two of which can't even legally buy booze yet, you know, and I just, that seems crazy to me. And again, Lacob loves Durant. So that's what I think is going to happen. I don't know. Do you like it? I mean, if that trade happens and it's not Kuminga, can you stomach it, or is that still bothering you too much?
No, I mean, I can stomach it. I can stomach it for sure. I mean, like I said, I think the Warriors win championships if Kevin Durant comes to Golden State.
Exactly.
So, I mean, what's not to like about that? I'm just, like I said, also, though, you've got to look at the big picture and the long-term picture. And, okay, how does this affect the future of the team? So that's where I'm just trying to ask the questions. And it's just kind of interesting to me if the Warriors do make this trade because of how much they've emphasized player development and how much they've really done a good job the last several years in marrying their relationship with the G League, with the Santa Cruz Warriors, really utilizing that organization to try to bring these players up that they're drafting. And, you know, Meyer said it postseason this year that they weren't doing that 10 years ago. When Curry joined the team and the big three really joined the Warriors, like they didn't have that system in place. And now they're so proud that they've accomplished it. And then they're going to go and hand away all these players that they're developing and say, you know what, Kevin Durant, come back. Mike, I do have one big question for you though. So, you know, to me, Kevin Durant has said that he would come to the Warriors, but like, what does this do to his legacy in the public eye? And I'm not saying in my eye, but there are so many people that are going to be saying, well, Kevin Durant can't do it without the Warriors, you know? So I guess that's another thing I wonder is just like in his mind, is that going to be the most favorable decision for his legacy? I know you were saying that you think that it would be cemented if he won another championship, but what about that whole narrative that, well, he left because he wanted to prove he can do it on his own. He can start his own franchise, that he can be his own dynasty. And then you end up coming back to the team that you're already accused of jumping on a super team in order to win a championship, you know, when he first came to Golden State from the Thunder. And now after saying you want to go out and do it on your own, then you end up coming back to win a championship. I mean, I'm just curious in the public eye how that will affect Kevin Durant's perception.
I will have an answer for you after we talk about betonline.net, a very longtime sponsor of this program. Betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. And if you go to betonline.net, one interesting stat is the Golden State Warriors' odds of repeating as the world champions. When the NBA Finals concluded on June 16th, I can't believe it's already been 3 weeks, the Warriors were 9-2 favorites to win the whole thing. Since then, because they lost Gary Payton II, because they lost Otto Porter Jr., Bielitsa, various other bench players, questionable draft, Patrick Baldwin Jr. has not really made anyone that excited. He seems like more of a long-term project than someone that can contribute immediately. The Warriors are now tied with the Phoenix Suns at 6-1 as the favorites to win the world championship. So their odds of repeating as world champions has lowered. The Boston Celtics are now second directly behind the Warriors and Suns at 13-2 or 6.5-1. And then the Clippers are 7-1, followed by the Bucks. And again, if you get all that information by going to betonline.net, you can find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball. Betonline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. To answer your Durant question, a lot has changed in the 3 years since he left, right? I personally wish he would delete his Twitter account. It would remove 99% of the problems he has in his head because he just, for some reason, just loves reading what other people are saying about him. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I don't get it, but he needs it. Apparently, he wants to stay on social media, so be it. But I think he's smart enough to have realized that a lot has changed. And first and foremost, what's changed is that he's never going to carry a team to a world championship by himself. Those days are done. A huge reason why he made the trade request this offseason, besides the fact that he doesn't like where the Nets organization is heading, he doesn't like the way they treated Kyrie, is the fact that he also sees that situation as one that's not going to go anywhere. He is not winning a world championship if he stays in Brooklyn. And wherever he goes, he's not going to be the alpha. I hope he has the intelligence to have realized, the self-awareness more so, to realize that whatever he does next, if he wants to keep winning and building on his legacy, he's going to have to do it with other people helping. He's not going to be that lead dog. And if he comes back to the Warriors, and again, he would be getting the finals MVP trophy. I am almost positive of that. As good as Steph is such a selfless human being. He's got his one finals MVP. I could see Steph absolutely deferring in the NBA finals, going, KD, you get that trophy, man. That means more to you than me. I'm getting my fifth world championship. I got my finals MVP. My legacy set in stone. And that's where I think the comfort will come in. These guys, you know, they've been through wars together. It's not like San Francisco will be a new thing for him. He's just coming back to his old home. And my hope is that he is aware enough that regardless of wherever he goes next, if he goes to Phoenix, Devin Booker is the top dog there, not him, and Chris Paul. If he goes to Miami, I mean, I know Jimmy Butler would probably take a step back to him, but that situation is not winning a world title because he'd have to give up Bam Adebayo, and so you have no defense and no size. I don't know who's the Raptors are giving up, first of all, that the Nets would like outside of Scottie Barnes, and trade's not happening. So I'm just putting all these pieces together. I'm seeing what the Warriors are doing. I'm seeing the options that Kevin Durant has. And it just seems to make the most sense. And again, I just hope that Kuminga is not included in that deal, because Kuminga is something special. And if you can keep Kuminga and get Kevin Durant back, boy, oh boy, I really think you're looking at a three-peat. And I don't know what's wrong with that. You're right. You're sacrificing this big long-term plan that they have, but things can change. You know, it's impossible to predict the future. And I'd personally rather go with the certainty of a three-peat, especially if you can keep Kuminga, versus whatever they're doing now, which is sacrificing depth and putting all your eggs in this basket of the youth, these 19, 20, 21-year-olds, carrying the load for you. I mean, the Warriors rely on that depth. you know, for their success. I mean, the strength in numbers adage isn't just a phrase. It actually means something to this Warriors team. It always has, with the exception of the Kevin Durant years. I mean, when KD is there, you don't need that depth that much because you have such a megastar on your team. I don't know. Do I sound crazy saying that? Is there make no. any sense to you?
No, it makes total sense. And I think, like you said, when you look at the other trade destinations, I think the Warriors make a lot of sense. I also think it's a little funny that we haven't seen the Warriors signing any other free agents. I mean, yes. I think you could be spot on. I think there definitely are discussions happening behind closed doors. What will end up happening when the day comes and we find out where Durant is going? I don't know.
Yeah.
This could still go a couple of different directions, but I think the Warriors make a lot of sense.
So here are the free agents I've written down. All right. Okay. And this is, there's a lot of them still remaining. And I'm getting these from SpotTrack, which is actually a really solid website. And Kent Bazemore is not going to be included in this list. So for all you Bazemore fans out there, nice try. The wild card I keep bringing up is Tyreke Evans, simply because he's a former client of Bob Myers when Myers was an agent. We heard his name mentioned last year. He was sitting courtside at that Warriors game as a possible addition to the roster. I could see him being a fit. I know he hasn't played in a few years. He would come back for the veteran minimum. He's a physical specimen. If you could teach him to play solid defense, I think he's a great addition. I'm just going to go through all these and then you tell me what you think, right? So there's Tyreke Evans. Josh Jackson is out there. That's a weird one. A former number four pick just 5 years ago in the NBA draft, unrestricted free agent. The potential is really there for him. It just the question is whether or not the Warriors would be willing to take a gamble. Wayne Ellington, fantastic perimeter defensive player and shooter, is out there. Lou Williams, if you're looking for offense, is out there. One player that Kruger and I both really love, and I know a lot of people are just kind of looking at me like, what is wrong with you when I say this, but I really think Carmelo Anthony could fit the Otto Porter Jr. Bill. He's much better offensively. And again, the Warriors have shown they can get the most out of players. If you could just convince them to play a little defense, that would pay off. And two other names, one you mentioned already, Markieff Morris, I do think he would be a great fit. And then Rodney Hood is out there as well. It's 6'8". This is a player that not that long ago was making a lot of money because he is a talent. But injuries have beset him and maybe ego has beset him a little bit. He does think he's better than maybe he really is. So maybe at this point in his career, he's eating some humble pie and he's ready to sacrifice to win a championship. Those are the initial names. Any of those excite you? Your thoughts?
I mean, like I said, Markieff Morris is one who jumped out at me. And you know what I keep going back to is that I really would have liked Serge Ibaka to come to the Warriors. I think he would have been a great fit. And he was one that when I saw his signing, I was like, oh, man. I was like, why? Like, he would have been a great fit for the Warriors.
Right with you.
So, I don't know. Another name you didn't mention that I want to bring up is, like, what are your thoughts on Blake Griffin?
I know. I mean, it's one of those things where it could. I think he's washed. I think he's someone who relied so much on his physical gifts to succeed in the NBA. And the fact he turns 34 next year, I wouldn't like hate it, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's getting older, but like he could be an option as far as looking for someone with size and I don't know.
True. I wouldn't hate it.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to still rack my brain.
I know there's a lot of other names. There's LaMarcus Aldridge is also another name. He's getting older, but if you need a big, Colin Sexton is still out there. Avery Bradley's still out there. Dennis Schroeder is still out there. Juancho Hernan Gomez is still out. There's a lot of players. We still don't know what Andre Iguodala is even doing. Like, is he going to come back, you know?
Yeah, actually, that's a huge question mark because that's another roster spot you have to fill with a potential, you know, big and also defensive star. He can play. He brings the ball up because he does all kinds of things when he's healthy, that is. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Exactly. I see Andre coming back on the coaching staff personally. And I think he would be a great addition to the coaching staff. But from what I saw this last season, I feel like it's his body.
You called that before the playoffs started.
I said we're not going to see him.
Yeah, he's done, and he was. He was totally done.
His body is telling him, like, you know, it's time, man. Like, he is an incredible player, but, like, you know, at some point, your body just can't handle the workload anymore.
He was having old man injuries, like my neck, my back, my knee. Like, he's done. I don't know.
I would like to see him come back on the coaching staff, though. I think that would be a great move. I mean, he already was a player coach, but then at least just, like, be giving him a coach's salary instead of instead of signing him to a vet minimum again or whatever.
Absolutely. Though the one thing that makes me wonder if that's going to happen, because you're right, there is a space. Leandro Barbosa's spot is open. Right. But the only thing that makes me wonder if that's going to happen is he's never been afraid to badmouth Lacob and Gruber publicly. And the question is whether or not they can swallow their pride and still hire him despite that. And if there's any vindictiveness from their end, I don't see him coming back as a coach. Because he's blasted him repeatedly, publicly. And I guarantee they're seeing that, you know? So I don't know. That's the only thing that gives me pause about Iggy coming back. I would love it, but I just don't. It just depends on whether or not the owners will swallow their pride and accept someone who criticizes them publicly to now be your employee. So I don't know. Anyone else? Any other names or anything else we should cover? I feel like we've touched on everything. I don't know. What do you think?
We'll see what happens. I mean, the whole free agency discussion may be a moot point if they trade for Kevin Durant, you know? So I'm just proceeding with caution at this point. And like you said, I feel like the whole NBA world is on pause right now. Where is Kevin Durant? Where is KD going to go? And I feel like that's going to kind of determine the direction of a lot of teams or several teams right now that are at least in the discussion or trying to create packages for KD. So I just feel like we're in a holding pattern, don't you? It's like, God, I'm always like looking at my notifications and stuff. I'm like, all right, when are we going to find out? Like, is this going to be a fun summer? Just like sitting here looking, you know, like waiting for the news to come through. So I don't know, man. Cyrus, I'm ready. Like, just announce it. Like, let's just get the deal done. Like, he's coming here. He's not. Like, I just want to know.
Everyone's patience. You're right. Everyone's patience is being so tested right now. We're getting bored and restless with NBA free agency in the offseason. And I don't think anyone likes to be in that position. And look, the one thing that worries me, that scares me about KD not coming to the Warriors is the one wildcard team. I don't know if they'll do it, but they could do it, is Memphis. Like, if Memphis makes a play and adds Kevin Durant, they're winning the title next year. Like, I don't want to see that. And then the Celtics got better. I feel like they made two incredibly solid offseason moves in adding Brogdon and adding Gallinari, who is actually a solid wing player. They got better, and the Warriors did not get better this offseason. So – and you're right, though. There's no movement, and it's just I hope something happens soon because I'm going a little crazy here. I think we're all going a little stir crazy here.
I'm like, something needs to happen. Also, my concern is just all these free agents are keep getting signed, and now it's like, all right, if the Warriors don't end up signing KD, like who's going to be left by the time, you know, that all gets hashed out?
Absolutely. You and I actually had when you get to this point of the year, you start pulling up like your emergency cards for podcast discussions. We were going to talk about like dynasties, top 10 lists, because that's where you start going eventually if like everything just kind of gets on hold. But we didn't have to do that
today. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. But we haven't caught up in a while, so I'm glad that we got to chat a little bit. But I still have my dynasty list ready. So next week, if we're still in a holding pattern, we better go there, Cyrus, because like, I'm a Chicago native and a Bulls fan. Like, I'm ready to hammer home why the Chicago Bulls are the best dynasty. So we'll save that for next week, though.
Absolutely. I'm going to Tahoe this weekend. So if anything happens, I will not be able to do, like, an emergency pod. Maybe on my phone, but probably not. So we'll be back Monday. Kylan, and like I said, once we finalize everything, you'll be joining me for 2 days a week, hopefully, on a consistent basis from here on out. Love having you as a partner. And yeah, I hope you have a great weekend. I'm glad you're feeling better. This COVID thing is just such a B word. You know what I'm talking about. It's annoying. I'm glad you're better, though.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you're better.
Thank you. Yes, finally feeling better. Just as anxious as you are to see what happens in the offseason. I'm like, let's do it. Make some moves. Let's go.
Yes, exactly. And you can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter, at Kylan Mills. You produce great content, as always, there. You can follow me on Twitter, at DocSurfRoadshow, where, again, my pinned tweet has my clothing line, buy a t-shirt. Kylan, give me your address. I'll send it to you. And you can also follow this program on Twitter, at Locked On Dubs. Kylan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. We're done. Yeah, later. Bye. Peace out.